Well, I will retain, I've retained lots of things from the previous one, but there's one that I decided to pick just to use for my own presentation, documented trauma. The space I'm going to talk about, although I'm going to talk a lot about people, young people in particular, but the space I'm going to talk about is a space of a lot of trauma, both documented but predominantly undocumented, but also a space of lots of fictitious institutions and lots of imaginaries. So I'm gonna bring up and explore certain concepts and narratives through the use and to a certain extent manipulation of images, not visual manipulation, but verbal and conceptual one, from various activities in a place and a space called Dublin Castle. And these are various activities, whether building or heritage activities, artistic activities, and various interrogative activities. Now, I will use these. I will use these to show what sort of ontologies a museum or a heritage space has the power to produce or reproduce or perpetuate, and how we can interrogate these ontologies or produce our own, or do away with this obsession with ontologies altogether, flat or otherwise. Also how a museum can be an educational space for these critical discussions and a safe questioning space. And finally, to give a brief, if time allows, playful taster of tricks and methods of questioning, borrowed from community philosophy and analytical philosophy and the whole anti-ontological and metaphysical stones of that tradition. I'm starting with this slide because when I was trying to collect, to find actually different question marks from various alphabets, I was shocked by the lack of diversity in question marks. I mean, I have there the Arabic one. Okay, I skipped the, you know, that Spanish thing they use in the end, the Roman one that most of us are familiar with, and the Greek one, and then the rest of the alphabet seem to use the same ones. You can figure out what the rest of them are. Some question words in Persian that I put there. I don't know what that is, some Thai word meaning question or something like that. I was just trying to produce some forced diversity. So I'm not going to give you any very fancy commanding views of Dublin Castle. I'm not going to sell it to you. But I'm going to use different bits and pieces and cluster of ideas and concepts before I move on to some images from artistic works. I do like the concept of ostracon. So no, that thing that you can see at the top left, no, this was not discovered in Dublin Castle. But it's an ostracon type approach that that we have a lot in our youth work in Dublin Castle, and not just youth work, but various interrogative and philosophy workshops that we carry out there. So what the ostraca were, most archaeologists would be familiar with them. They were really broken pieces of pot that they were used to either, you know, very pedestrian functions like recording accounts, or sometimes you see some very serious and religious related stuff. But something that we know a lot about ostraca, well, they had a lot of power and agency, because with an ostraca you could write down someone's name and ostracize them, get rid of them. So they do actually bear a lot of agency and command. We are going, most of you have found on your chairs, or if they're not on your chairs, they will be at the chair beside you, two ostraca, my made-up ones, contemporary ones. If not, I can give you some more in the end. So I want to engage, speaking of agency and command that an ostraca can have, don't worry, you don't have to do anything with it yet. And, you know, Selina has given us some homework too, so I don't want to take too much space from that. So, as I said, this ostraca can actually be bearers of agency and command. And I'm quite fond of this concept of command. Giorgio Agamben, Agamben, if I pronounce him right, engages a lot with his notion of command and its archaeology and investigation, and also its capacity for generating ontologies, even manipulative ontologies. And we do tend to think of ontological creation as an extra-human affair. Sometimes we even tend to think of buildings that way too. I'm going to use a quote from an architect called Adrian Lutkins when he was trying to convince, he was an English architect, he worked in Ireland quite a bit as well, and when he was trying to convince a viceroy in India he was trying to argue for the building he wanted to build, he said, well, architecture more than any other art represents the intellectual progress of those that are in authorities, in yourself, sir. And here come the artists, or the other citizens, to confuse us. Oh, you're trying. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, I did this for my own. Okay. So here come the artists or the other citizens to confuse us, and they disrupt this authority, this fictionalized authority. And we're gradually, I'm going to show you a few pictures of Dublin Castle, but not as the tourist brochures might want it. Sorry about that. Actually, does this bother you too much? It's my way to record the time as well, sorry. Does this bother you if I have it like that, or is it? Are you sure? Okay, sorry. Instead of jumping in and out, okay, so I'm doing relatively well. So we are gradually moving to some interiors of Dublin Castle and some processions and more dynamic engagement with the castle, because there are different ways of engaging with the space, and not just verbally, on in a command type way. But here comes a type of command as well, the standard device of the guided tour. By the way, I'm going to mention all these artists and acknowledge them in the end. Now I'm just manipulating them. And this beautiful piece, we have a throne as well, from the early 18th century. So very commanding, but nobody had seen it that commanding before that particular participatory artwork. And we play with the space, we run in the space. That caused lots of hassle, actually, with authorities in Dublin Castle. We discover lots of dirt in the space, and we shake our notions of what exists and who we are and what we do with our buildings. So this is the main yard of Dublin Castle. As it is at the moment, or as it was 4 years ago when this artwork was carried out. So how did it all start? This is a command, and as Giorgio Agamben tells us, command has a lot to do, he tracks it down to the etymology, to the Greek etymology, and has a lot to do with start, with beginning. We all need to package some sort of beginning in order to carry out, in order to create our institution. So that's how Dublin Castle started. That's how all this ontology was produced. In the beginning was a decree of some king called John. And here, the conflation of the notion of origin and command that Agamben engages with is vital when it comes to our social imaginaries, and I'm going to bring up Castoriadis here and all the policies and politics we build to sustain them. So in the beginning was the word, or as Giorgio Agamben wants it, in the commandment was the word. So both biblical and classical mythology are full of commands, but also our contemporary mythologies. So Giorgio Agamben asks that question, what is a command? I suppose here I want to introduce this notion of inequality, and how, as Jacques Rancière tells us, it's a notion we are quite obsessed with. We keep producing these fictitious institutions and these commands, and as Jacques Rancière tells us, bringing up Thomas Hobbes, the trouble didn't start when we said, this is mine, I own this, but when we said, we are not equal. And very often our built heritage and our institutions keep telling us that. So, I actually wonder if this type of command, well, if it is a command, you are not my equal, is it also a start for the Anthropocene? And what does obeying or disobeying this sort of command involves? So what I'd like to do at this point, and just to, I hope it will make sense if I bring it together, what sort of platform can this intersection, as I see it, of the exhibitionary complex, this is a term in museum studies, and the Parliament of Things that most of you might be familiar with from Bruno Latour. So this intersection, as I see the museum, what sort of questioning can it produce? And in terms of questioning in museums, one of the things I want to point out, and it's kind of fresh from the non-press, this question, should museums be about objects and monuments and buildings and statements or about questions? And apparently we are very legitimate now to state the latter, as we have a new museum definition that is going to be voted, I think, on the 9th of September at Kyoto at a conference of ICOM, the International Committee of Museums. From the previous definition of 2007, a museum is a non-profit permanent institution in the service of society and its development, open to the public, which acquires, conserves, researches, communicates, and exhibits a tangible and intangible heritage of humanity and its environment, so separate from humanity at that definition, for the purposes of education, study, and enjoyment. So they want us to have fun as well. So new proposed definitions. Museums are democratizing, inclusive, and polyphonic spaces for critical dialogue. So the critical and the dialogue goes into the definition about the past and the futures. Future comes into in plural because we do envision different futures, as the first presentation pointed out, acknowledging and addressing the conflicts and challenges of the present. They hold artifacts and specimens in trust for society, safeguard diverse memories for future generations, and guarantee equal rights and equal access to heritage for all people. And then they carry on with something like the previous definition, but they also introduce, they are participatory and transparent and work in active partnership with and for diverse communities to collect, preserve, etc., etc. And some point at the very end, and to contribute to human dignity and social justice, global equality, and planetary well-being. So that replaced the environmental bit of the previous definition. And now what I'm going to ask you, since we talk so much about equality, I'm going to ask you to take one of your ostraca and just scribble a definition. And if anyone is missing any bit of paper, I can produce an ostraca as we speak. And if you would like to scribble a definition of what is equality, I'll give you one. How am I doing? I started at So scribble what is equality, any definition, be playful, you can mock it, you can take the whatever the expression is in English, do whatever you like, don't be afraid of your fellow academics. What is equality? Now, if you feel really constipated and you can't produce anything, you might want to scribble what is the Anthropocene. So I give you the choice. Okay? Because that's a question we face a lot. I faced it before coming here. And I can't remember what I came up with. So either what is equality or what is the Anthropocene. Scribble some sort of a definition. Remember, we can define through examples, we can define playfully. You can give a, you can define through a typology, do whatever you like. What's the worst that can happen? So
ostracon, please.
An ostracon, yes, sir. Sorry, not as sophisticated.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any more? They might end up in a museum. Oops, okay. Oh, there you go. And if you're ready, so if you're ready, or even if you're not, I would like you, if you so wish, to exchange them with someone else, beside you, behind you, whatever. So swap them. Swap. Okay. Swap. And now take your second blank ostracon. Do you all have a blank ostracon in front of you? Yeah?
So okay, as you 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
To go. Okay.
So swap, that's your command, yeah?
Yeah.
I did ask him to be dictatorial.
Yeah.
Swap. You have swapped, okay? Now, you all have the ostracon that the other person has handed you, and you also have a blank one in front of you, correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Now, on that blank one, you want to swap with someone, do you? And you're stuck? Does anyone want to swap with this lovely lady?
I swap with somebody and then I'm
sure, why not? Yeah. Be promiscuous, you know, what's the worst that can happen? So, what I'd like... What? So what I'd like you to do, take your blank ostracon, have your filled one above you, and try to turn the content of that ostracon into a command for action. It might be as simple as an affair as taking a noun from that and turning it into a verb. What I want you to produce is some command that you can give to someone and an action can be produced. So turn the definition or parts of the definition into a command for action. You can be as creative and distorting as you wish, or as you don't wish. Is anyone missing any blank
postures? Yeah, 2 minutes to go.
Okay.
Hey, 2 minutes.
Perfect. So you can keep pondering, make sure that you produce your commands. Keep going. You can keep them for the time being, but make sure you produce some command so that we can actually continue at some point and keep them. And all I'm going to say now, I'm just going to show, keep them there either on your chairs or on the floor. We're going to do something with them later. All I'm going to show you now is this image from the Dublin Castle collection that shows, it's from a myth, Artemis, condemned Endymion to eternal sleep because she loved looking at him while he was asleep. So that's how we commodify history. And then Jonathan Swift, who was born just beside Dublin Castle, most of you from the English-speaking world would know The Modest Proposal for Eating Children. That's actually his response, his satirical response to poverty, and I'm going to leave it at that. And that's it. And we can keep playing.